Hey, hello. Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Good night.
Good night.
And I don't know. It doesn't look like you're having another meal.
You don't feel there's a weird twilight between, like a tween area between morning and afternoon?
Brunch? Good morning. Good brunch.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Good night. That's six meals. You're really getting up to a lot of meals now.
All these things coincide with meals.
I think so, because we always talked about fourth meal.
Fourth meal, you're right.
So, what are you...
That's a Sunday vibe, then.
We're about to, in case you're wondering, have Drez, the black sheep, if you will, on the show.
I'm not a fan of that term.
No, no, me neither. He's Drez from Black Sheep.
Drez from Black Sheep. But people don't realize it was a group, so they call him Drez. I mean, they call him Black Sheep.
No, I think it was just something he went with as a little, like... when he was kind of solo for a minute.
No. I mean, I guarantee it came from people going, yo, Black Sheep, what up?
Oh, yeah, because they didn't know Sugar Dick Daddy, Mr. Long.
Yeah.
They didn't even know who that was.
I guarantee they'd be like, Black Sheep, Black... It's the same way,
Jamiroquai?
Blase.
Oh, was Blase a group?
Blase was a group.
Well, who's the second Blase is confusing. Because you have one Blase.
P.F. Cutting.
He was the other half of Blase.
And the other guy was, his name was,
Well, whoever it was, when I got to know him, the main guy would just be like, I'm Blase.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
He eventually just took it over.
Just took the name. Because it's like people associate the rapper with the name of the... It's like Macklemore. No, but the Macklemores. They just don't say
Ryan
Lewis.
Well, no, but, I was kind of joking, but Jamiroquai is a group.
Oh, is it?
And that main dude is named Jay. But everyone just calls him Jamiroquai.
Yeah, it's got to suck.
For everyone else?
I hate people. Like, they would call Nina Sky, like, Nina! I'm like, ah, it's a group name. Fuck.
Mrs. Sky! So, by the way, Saif, we need to catch up. Drez is on his way in.
Okay.
What's been going on, though? How's further notice going?
Sorry, real quick.
Yeah.
I said something the other day, you know, because we were Juan-epping, and somebody looked at me weird. Actually, it was Ebro. I would like to officially state that I want to make Juan-epping a verb.
So, like, does it only refer to doing this show? We're Juan-epping today?
I don't want it to be.
You want it to be used in other... What other circumstances are we using it?
I don't know. Maybe if you're just sitting around pontificating about hip-hop?
You're Juan-epping right now.
You're Juan-epping.
Are you going to Juan-ep your way over to Peter Palooza on Wednesday night?
Oh, is that Wednesday?
Yes.
So 23rd?
I'd like you to if you could, yes.
Yeah, of course.
Hit
it's on
stage.
My schedule.
It's on the scope. Oh, well, I'm good.
Yeah. Hopefully,
right?
Yeah.
You never know with the schedule, though, because that schedule gets crazy.
Yeah.
So is there something else crazy happening Wednesday?
Not Wednesday. Maybe I might have to go somewhere Monday.
J-Lo?
No, J-Lo might be Thursday.
Yo, you're really living right now.
Yo, the J-Lo train stopped. The gravy train stopped. And then I got a random call.
What would you do while you're doing till further notice if something else crazy came up to get you on the road?
I'd go on the road.
But what if that meant you lost till further notice?
Yeah.
You'd be okay with that?
Angie's back.
What do you mean?
Angie's on Power 105 now.
So what?
So now I got to compete with Angie?
Oh, what? So you're giving up already? You're throwing the towel? You're going to crush her. You will crush her.
It's not that I'm giving up. It's just that, you know, the hype is gone. Now it's just work. It's like punching.
Now you just show up to work, do your little thing.
No, it's amazing though. But you know what I found out? Not found out. You know what I realized? I come in at 3 o'clock or 2:30, whatever. Got to meet with the boss every day. You know, you need that good convo. And it's not intense like a morning show. Like when we do the mornings, like, yo, get that call ready. Here we go. We about to play this. Yo, you got the topic. Yo, we about to do flashing lights. Da da da. Right. Mm-hmm. It's like a constant movement.
Yeah.
Afternoons is lax.
It like after you do something, it's just who.
And you don't talk again for another maybe half.
Like you and Drewski could just sit in silence.
But that's what we were doing, and that's the way it was before. And I tell everybody, yo, it can't be like this. Like if we're not sitting here these 4 hours getting some next shit done,
what are we doing?
We got 4 hours of, well, all right, 3.5 hours of free time.
Yeah, that's
and we're not getting something done. We should be in here making T-shirts, making stickers, producing record. I don't know.
Why did you instantly go to like creating product in the room? That seems like an unlikely way to spend
your
time.
Okay, me and Drewski have trouble having time to meet because we're both so busy. Now we sit next to each other and don't talk.
No, that's
we're like a married couple.
That's really sad. You spend all this time together. Have you and Drewski talked about, I know we can't say too much on the air, but I mean, Angie at some point is going to have to make the move to try to, is she not trying to poach any of her people and bring them over there?
I don't know. I'm sure she is. I'm sure she will.
Because yesterday the picture she posted on Instagram was crazy.
What?
It was like her and Sus One.
Yeah, so I saw
and
that
like
one.
Someone else from the
she
station.
She blacked out on the board up second break.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did.
What'd she say?
Something about these headphones are no good. I need better headphones. And then she, oh, it was the hashtag. So the hashtag was hashtag Angie on Power. And the guy was like, nah, power1051.com. And she was like, what? He's like, no, power105, whatever the website is. And she's like, I'm saying the hashtag. He's like, ha, ha, ha. She's like, and then he says something else. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, I can hear her blacking out. She's like, but the hashtag. And she wanted to say,
you, when the mic
you
went
idiot.
Off.
Do you know what a fucking hashtag is? Have you ever used, I don't know, the internet?
Oh, my God. My question with Angie and Power 105 is, when are they going to capture a picture of her sincerely smiling in that building? Because so far, every picture is sort of like,
hey, it's fake smile.
Hi, I'm here.
It's got to be weird.
It's got to be. It's like starting a new school. Not only a new school, the rival school.
It's like fucking going to East Dillon.
Can you imagine going from Dillon to East Dillon? That's what she's doing right now.
She's fucking,
who transferred?
The kid.
I'm a long way out.
The football player kid that,
Really? Really, the football
the white kid that had a farm, the tractor kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he
yeah.
Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he was on Dillon, and then they found out his address was fake, and they sent him over to Easton.
Yo, by the way,
and
I think
he cried.
We may have to do Juan Epstein in the studio from now on, seeing as that now that we have this Augs thing.
Yeah.
Although you could probably
easily. You say Augs?
Aux thing?
I say Aux. Auxiliary.
You could
auxiliary.
You could plug it. We can make any phone call. Like, you can tell us who we want to call. We can call him right now.
Wow.
It's so easy. And pot it up on the board. It's kind of cool. It's pretty exciting. Yo, do you see the video of a star in Ebro?
Nope. Oh, yes.
You did watch that?
I did see that one.
That was pretty entertaining.
Ebro was very
nice to me. It felt very... The anger he got when he suggested hitting me in front of him made me feel warm inside. Ebro cared.
Yeah, I don't...
Not that you would doubt that, of course.
Yeah,
but
I don't... I wouldn't.
No, of course you wouldn't, but it's still nice to see.
Yes.
When someone's like, I'll slap Rosenberg...
Something you take for granted...
Yeah,
or,
like, he had a visceral reaction of, like, you will not fucking do that.
Yeah.
And it is nice to see
I
that.
I wish you were there, though.
Well, because what would happen?
I don't know. I want to see it. I was like, was Rosenberg there? Is there a part two to this video?
And then, no. And you're like, it can't just end with him daring, him trying to dare Ebro taking the bait and him not doing anything.
Right.
Why would he release that? But he did.
Because he made a face at the end. And it's all about the face.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. Nobody, who won in that?
I mean, I think the fact that you did the you set up the video like I'm gonna go confront someone,
yeah,
and that person said no, you won't do anything, and then said here, you can hit me, and he said I can hit you, and he said sure, and he puts his face out, yeah. And then you're like ha ha ha, I think that's a loss, but I mean the whole thing's a loss. I mean life is a loss.
Does he do a lot of videos for Vlad?
He does, like, talking videos where he'll, like, randomly... Oh. I haven't seen them in
like
a long time.
Like, talking heads?
Yeah, that kind of thing.
But somebody...
For the great Vlad
somebody
Network.
Somebody yesterday was telling me, oh, man, they love that video.
They
hey,
love the...
Juanito.
What's up, Juanito?
What's up, guys?
You just wandered in? I assumed you were going to bring Drez with you.
I thought, but I don't know where he's at.
I was told he was here. I think he's in the waiting room.
Oh, then who's supposed to get him?
Yeah, probably.
Anybody, did you tell anybody to go get him?
Yeah, I texted Trinane.
Trinane?
Texted Trinane and said... Go get him. Juanito, how are you?
I'm good, brother. How are you guys?
I'm good.
Just I've lost my way. I'm proud of
him. Just one epping?
We're just one epping over here. Did you, Juanito, answer honestly on the podcast. Did you yell at Trinae earlier? Did you sun her?
Did not. No, no such thing.
No,
why? Did you call my
you
mother?
Do you see the denial? What's the instant denial?
Listen.
A story happened. A thing happened.
I don't even know what happened.
It wasn't a big thing, but a little thing happened.
There was nothing. We all left the room because Ebro told everyone, yo, we need a private room. Everyone get out.
What was this for?
Ebro just did a get out of the studio. He wanted to talk to me, Laura, and Shawnee. Nothing that serious. But just
so we walked out. I thought Trinae was in the room like she always is. Nothing, everything innocent. So I come out. And she's about to walk in. Hey, no, come. Hey, come back inside. I mean, come back out. He said everyone got to leave the room, so just chill. But she took it the wrong way. I was like,
all you said was just chill, literally. You didn't say like
the correct word. I said, hey, no, remember, he told everyone to get out the room. That's the correct wording I said.
Did you say it with an? I'm not. See, listen.
Yeah.
Trine, for people who don't know, is an intern. Oh no, sorry. She's now an assistant who helps us out. And she, officially, she's my assistant here. Very cool person.
Here's the thing.
Trine gets very easily offended. This is something we've worked on with her. So I do believe that she could have gotten easily offended. My question I'm asking you is, though, did you maybe have a slight attitude that would have led to that?
No. That, how can I go from asking
he looks,
her?
You look. Your face is like Chris Brown on Barbara Walters.
No, because I feel kind of hurt saying that because I all
hurt.
Oh, my God.
Somewhere deep down in my heart. Because, like, yo, we were cool. Like, yo, I asked her, yo, she makes emos or nutcrackers. I was willing to go to a crib to get some so I could have a good weekend.
So you thought of her as a homie. You thought y'all were getting cool. And then she came at you.
I don't know what it was.
I talked to her. You guys, we're going to work it out. Trine often believes that people are like testing her for no reason when they're not.
Yo, this is
Trine's the kind of person who might just yell, stop playing on my phone for no reason.
Here's why I went corporate on this. I spoke to Ebro. He's like, yo, don't stress it. You know, pull to the side.
What corporate? What happened?
Because, listen, ever since I got let go and I got brought back, I have a different aspect of how I work here.
Keep it professional.
Keep it professional. He's like, yo, have a talk with her. End of the day, you work here. She doesn't. She used to know the chain of command.
And I told her that. I made that very clear.
But I...
Hey, what's up, Chimer? And there's Trine. Perfect timing.
And it's Trine. All love.
Trine, it's we're working. Love. Is Drez here? Talking to the microphone.
Nobody emailed me yet.
Mm-hmm. Sit down, Trine.
No, I told you. I texted you.
I'm coming right back, though.
No, I am. I'm just kidding.
Okay, Chimer, will you go see if Drez is in the waiting room, please? Yeah. Thank you, Chimer.
Drez,
yes. Give her a key. Now, real quick, Trine, we're dealing with this really quick.
Oh, somebody just texted me just now. Guest pickup.
Look. Okay, he's going. Chimer's going. Talking to the microphone. Say hi, Trine.
What's up, people?
There she is. We're talking to Juanito about the situation you guys just had.
Uh-huh.
He felt bad. He felt like he didn't mean to.
Can I hear her side?
Give us your side. Thank you, Sif. Sorry, I apologize. Give us your side, Trine. What happened?
Okay, so I was on a computer. I was not in the studio, and as I go to the studio to get paperwork, somebody just goes, "Didn't they just say they having a private discussion?"
Mm.
But before I reply, Mr. Chimer that was just here, he replies before I do, and he goes, "She wasn't in there." For me to even know that you guys was having a private discussion.
That is a Chimer move.
That's what Chimer does. That's why he's Chimer. That's why he's the Chimer. So basically, you weren't in the room when he said, everyone leave. And you felt that when Juanito told you, didn't you hear that, he was kind of being disrespectful. Like, what in your mind, you heard him go, what are you, an idiot? But he didn't actually say, what are you, an idiot? But
yes.
You took his tone as saying that.
Yes.
Juanito feels that wasn't his tone. He thought y'all were homies, and he felt bad that you got on him so quickly.
So and now, I thought you were in the room, too, and I did say that.
He thought you were in the room.
Yeah. Things was happening
like,
so fast.
Him thinking you were in the room should automatically clear any of your feelings up. Like, if you put yourself in that room, now think about what he said. Did it sound the same?
Like if you thought you were in the room,
oh,
and he said that because that's what he thought.
Okay, so
I'm saying, look at it from his
point of view.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? He think just in your mind, he thought you were in the room when it was said, so he was giving you a reminder. Now you weren't in the room, so the reminder sounded like disrespect.
Yeah,
but look from his side now. Okay, if he thought I was in the room,
it's not disrespect. He's just reminding me.
Yeah, he is just reminding me, but at the same time, in my mind, I'm just thinking, like, I would have never went back in there if he just told me that.
So. Right, but that's you putting on him that he's then suggesting you're stupid in some way, and yeah. that's not what he was doing. In fact, if you know Juanito at all, you know he's stupid, and he confused that you were in the room. So he didn't mean to disrespect you, you know what I'm saying?
And yes. I apologize. Say, listen, my bad. I did apologize afterwards. Say, my mistake, thinking that you were in the room. And that's the only thing I can say.
Are you guys all good now?
Yes, we are good.
Yeah.
And
shake
I appreciate
his hand.
It.
Oh, and that's good. Nice. All Hello. Right.
Yeah.
And perfect timing because now
when I want a nutcracker. I want a nutcracker. Oh, no.
You guys
was
work
it
out
tense before those. I got here? Like
that was the first time they talked since it happened. We just cleared something up, Seth. You're already back and you're taking care of business. All right, now guys,
we love you. Because I've had this issue with Trinae before.
Well, Trinae's from the hood, and she definitely gets mad quick and thinks people are trying to go at her all the time.
Right. But I will say that when I had an issue with Trinae, it got real bad.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick.
0 to 100?
But
real quick.
Her the amount of admitting she was wrong the next day and then fixing the issue that we had was impeccable.
No, so you said you went from being upset with her to actually being impressed with how she handled
yes,
the makeup.
Yes, because those moments, especially with hood people, I know them, sometimes just never, you never regain
but
that
here's
composure.
But here's
you know?
The problem, and here's what we need to work out, Trinae. We now have to skip the first step. Because seeing as she's not an employee here, she works for me here,
yeah.
She could just get axed and not get the opportunity for the makeup.
Oh, absolutely.
So you have to cut down the
it's
anger
hard,
level
though,
at
man.
First.
It's hard.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Drez from Black Sheep.
We're going to go hip-hop. You want to go hip-hop history and not... This is more important, no?
What, covering this part?
I'm just kidding. Drez is here. Drez from Black Sheep.
Okay. What's up, brother?
What's up, Drez?
What's up, bro?
All right.
D-R-E-S.
Ah, good to be here, man. Thanks for having me, fellas.
How was the Let's De La show the other night, by the
way? It was amazing, man. Like, it was literally a tutorial in hip-hop. Like, it was amazing. Common came through, Q-Tip. I jumped on as well. Jerobi was there. Yo, I mean, it was amazing.
I didn't go.
Sincerely.
Clive, you know
it was
I didn't,
sold out.
You know I didn't go?
Yeah, some kid that you like was there, right?
Who?
Dylan. Who's Dylan? A rapper?
Dylan Cooper was there?
Yeah.
That was a good kid.
You like him, right?
Yeah.
His manager called me and said...
Who, Bethany?
No, David Miller.
Oh, I don't know David Miller.
Oh, he called me expressing the fact that I should like him because you like him. And I go, I usually don't like what we're
doing. Good point. Now, the reason I wasn't there is because I'm officially on a self-imposed a moratorium from old school, if you will, concerts. For like
oh, because of the Chuck D shit?
Yes.
Oh, get the fuck out of here.
I'm giving
right.
it 2 months.
All right, not even the cut. I have to give you a message that was I was told to deliver to you.
Oh, God. Shit. Right. Well, maybe you're right.
But you know what? Nah. Honestly, in my opinion, all right, of course you put your foot in your mouth. I mean, I definitely have to co-sign you put your foot in your mouth. But
sheerly by going at Chuck in any way, you're saying?
Yes.
Just because I should have known no matter what the situation was not to go at Chuck.
I mean, you know, I put like this. Yeah,
hey, that is the most respectable. I don't like getting into
just
like
on,
the
just on some elder statesman shit.
Yeah. That's out of respect. I mean, you know, like you know, we all have older uncles. I mean, period. There's elder statesmen that have laid bricks in this thing for us to even be here.
Of course, myself included.
And yeah, literally, and that's what has to always be acknowledged, even when you might not necessarily when you have an older uncle that says something you might not dig. You don't go at him. You bite your tongue, and you respect the authority.
Now, here's the thing, though.
I don't.
Sy's not going to agree with that.
Yeah, now, I mean, you know.
And I understand the disagreement.
That's my family.
Yeah. No, I get it. Here's the thing. I think there's two arguments to look at it from that perspective. I think the biggest mistake, I think I just could have addressed it slightly differently.
And how you position it.
I tried to be careful.
How you position it.
What was the message that you had?
The message comes... All right, I have a question first.
Okay. First a question, then all right. Message.
Has... When was the last time Hot 97 interviewed Kool Herc?
See, that's
the home of hip hop.
That's a loaded question.
No. It's a real question. I honestly don't know.
I have no idea the answer to that. I'm sure it's been several years. I know he has relationships here. People know Herc. He comes up here. He gets his tickets to things. He has a relationship here. But he also has complex relationships here that I think go back a long way with people. I don't have one. Him and I just have a, you know, cordial, oh, you're Kool Herc. Can we take a picture relationship?
That... You know, this is touted as the home of hip hop, is why I asked sincerely.
Well, no, but I believe that, like I said, I can't get into it, but I believe Ebro has a relationship with him. I believe Flex has a relationship with him.
That was a personal question.
Okay.
The message is
from. It's not the home of hip hop, it's where hip hop lives.
Yeah, it's the home of
hip hop. Oh, okay.
It's just living here.
Where hip hop lives.
Renting out a room.
It's renting out a room. You didn't say it was born in the basement.
I'm saying, but you know.
All right, who's the message from?
Kool Herc.
Oh God!
Awesome. What is it?
The message.
This is from the De La Show.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's simply that he'd like for to be acknowledged up here. Like he'd like for brothers to reach out to him, and he'd like to have a voice.
I'd like to fuck Sofia Vergara, but guess what, man? Sometimes shit just don't happen the right way.
Oh God!
I mean, like I said,
what did he say?
Should I give her that message or I was asked to give a message?
No. I want you now to your new mission is to give Sofia Vergara.
Drez,
honestly, I have nothing to do with with your reply. I have no. I'm
was
just,
the message sent
I'm
to just, me directly?
We were talking. Me and Herc were talking. I told him I was going to come do your show.
Okay.
And he was like, you know what? You know, would you tell him? Would you give him a message for me? Would you let him know that I'd like, you know, to be seen up there and have a voice and do an interview at some point? You know,
Would you be down to have?
Of course.
You know, I think it's very important that the younger generation, you know, do. It also it is a little loaded because it's important that the younger generation have an understanding of where their favorites, you know, have walked.
Of course, and that's why we do this podcast. That's what the goal of this is.
You know? Excellent, excellent.
So I agree,
and it leads me to something I think is really, really strongly being ignored right now in hip hop, which is ageism. You know, like we talk about gay rights, we talk about, you know, everybody being treated fairly, old school, new school, whatever. But ageism is something that we really don't talk to, and it affects us all. It will affect you.
Yes.
In
not that long.
Yeah, and not long. A lot of the cats that speak to, yo, I don't really mess with them old cats. I really do, you know, I rest with the younger cats. And we're quick to kind of shun, you know, the older statesmen in this thing. And some of us are still doper than we were.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And to say that, you know, the ageism is very real. And the same cats that'll say, yo, I don't mess with them cats in 5 to 7 years are those cats.
I know.
And they're setting a precedence that they're not going to be ready to face in 5 or 7 years.
I agree. Listen,
I've been
agree with
here.
That.
I've been doing this for over 20 years. I've seen a lot of cats come and go, and you know, like, been blessed that you know this is my livelihood. I've made a living doing this, you know, for over 20 years. And not to say that I'm a top tier or anything like that, but I've been able to maintain myself, thank God. But we're setting a precedence that's going to make it so hard for the generation that exists right now. Because of their very own words.
I think you're 100% right. And they're like people who do... Like, here's the thing. We've never experienced this before, right?
True.
So
true.
Since we've never gotten here, I think a really big part of this puzzle is Jay-Z, interestingly enough, right? Because as Jay-Z continues to be successful and popular,
right,
he's basically becoming Bruce Springsteen. He's becoming a guy who's now been around for 20-some years, still does the biggest concerts. Right. This is 3 summers straight. Right. It was Jay and M, Jay and Timberlake, Jay and Beyonce. 3 summers straight in which he does the biggest, all genres, the biggest tour. So as people then realize, like, wait a second, I still like Jay-Z. And in a few years, we'll be talking about Jay-Z getting near 50 years old.
I mean, that might have passed. Who knows? But just to say it, nonetheless.
No, you and Jay are not far off. You guys have been in the game almost the same amount of time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I do think his career will impact the way others see that. But I do agree.
It's a long time.
Yeah, and to say this is my word. Even me as an artist, I'm nicer than I was 20 years ago. I have more to say. I have a better understanding.
You were brand new then. You were a kid.
Without question. And not to say that, you know, what we did wasn't dope as far as all of my peers, you know, like Big and Pac were kids, you know, they're revered. But imagine the artists they would be today.
Children.
Literally. But imagine the artists they would be today, and I would hate for them to be shunned. You know what I'm saying? As many of the older cats are that are still dope, I think we still need to base it on the quality of music, messages, and the things that, you know, like, if it's hip-hop, like, it's a culture. Like there has to be some diversity. And I know, you know, like, everybody has a part to play. And Viacom and the Clear Channels, what have you, you know, have an agenda that, you know, corporately, you know, you're employees, so you kind of have to follow. But I think it's important that that stances be made, Palmias.
And that people know, and that people mention it and make reference to it and make it important.
Yeah.
I totally agree.
Without question.
I do want to say, before we move to the beginning of the Drez story, which we want to do.
Cool.
In closing to what I said earlier, though, Syfe, I'm not skipping these events because of seeing other people in the hip-hop industry who I admire. Pretty much everyone has the same conversation with me, which is they show love. They say, I wouldn't have handled it like that. I wish you didn't do that. I know you don't.
All this happen, and I still don't know the full story.
It's not even worth repeating.
Yeah, not now. But
at some point, I'll give you the full thing. But I've gotten a lot of love, you know, from elder statesmen and people who have reached out to me. So it's not that I'm worried about seeing them. I'm okay having a conversation like I did when I saw Busta, where I had to sit there and just kind of listen. I'm okay with that part. What I don't want to see, I don't want to run into the random hanger-oner of this hanger-oner who's 50 years old with nothing left really going on, and knocking out Rosenberg might be a good move. So I'm not avoiding the other artists at all. I'm only avoiding, like, I don't know who everyone is. And yeah, they don't even know the story. They just think I said something crazy.
Had this been years ago, that would definitely be a very much concern.
The craziest, thing that people were offended about was two things. That I said he was trolling, and that I said no one elected you president of hip-hop, which was me trolling.
Yeah, definitely. Because if there's a president of hip-hop...
Right, now that's what made it a troll.
It's going to be Chuck D.
Exactly. So it was a troll.
What was his initial thing that he was saying about Hot 97?
That Summer Jam was a sloppy fiasco. And that, like...
That, and why was that addressed?
Why did he address it, or why did I address it?
Who he said that to, Ebro?
No, he said it. That was the stupid part. The dumbest mistake I made was...
It was a general statement of his?
Why did I...
Oh, you took it.
Why did I defend Hot 97?
See, the funny thing is, I've been waiting for years for this to happen, because you do that all the time.
What, defend?
Just take something that's out there loose and
internalize it.
Yeah, and then fight back for it. That's not your fight.
Right.
And then... But you've always skimmed. You always got away, like, without scars.
This is the first one. Well, I hope I still get away without scars.
I do, too.
But
you know what's funny? Now that I'm not on the morning show, like, I realize how I know you way better. Like, I think everybody knows you the way I know you, right? And when you say dumb shit like that, I know where it comes from. And how to fucking calculate it to who what you were saying.
And in defense, I think a lot of people like who have followed along with me know that it didn't come from.
Yeah, they're not the ones.
Right.
Yeah,
they know I'm no public enemy. Like,
I don't think it came from a bad place.
They just like, oh, why'd you do that?
Right, no, but right, now that I'm right, not here right, every day, right. Now only thing I hear from you, sometimes I don't talk to you for 3-4 days, and I'll see something, or somebody says something, and I'm like, oh, I see why they think that now, because I'm now an outsider.
Right, because you see what all they see.
Yeah.
Right, which makes sense. So, but I'm going to tell you last thing on this.
Yeah.
It made me learn two things. One, it made me learn that some people have been waiting for me. Like, there are people who were like,
yeah,
we were waiting for you to say something.
Right.
And since, even though what I said wasn't that crazy offensive, it was enough.
I was offended, no, honestly. I know you're a good dude, but this is my word. Like,
but you weren't offended enough to unfriend, to be like, I don't fuck with you anymore.
No, I couldn't wait to see you, though. I wanted to talk. Not on some, you know, right, going right, at you, but just on some bigger brother. Like, yo, you know, like, that's not really,
really?
How you handle that. Yeah, literally. You know,
wow,
this is my word.
I appreciate that.
Like, you put me on the G side. I've done a song with them. Like literally, like, you know, and these are the things that I wish you put New York on the G side. You know what I'm saying? Like, these are the things that we used to do as a culture. I couldn't wait to hear the radio because I was going to be introduced to new things, new concepts, things that made sense in my life.
Which I still do on Sunday. I still do, bitch, just fairness.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, but that was...
That's a long conversation.
But that was us, though.
That's when hip-hop was new. Everything was new.
I mean, it could still be new. It's still new for someone.
Yeah, but
you know
it's,
what I'm saying?
It's corporate.
And that's where we have to make a stance.
And things
sincere.
And that's another huge mistake
I made.
That's
where we have to make a stance.
Another huge mistake I made is that I ended up coming off as a defender of corporation versus Chuck D. Whereas to me, I was defending my small company that has given me a livelihood. A small company that owns two big radio stations.
But
people just thought of us as
Please know this. That small company would not be a small company without Chuck D.
Sure, 100%.
And that leads to Herc. You know, like that leads to the ageism that we're definitely negating these days.
Right.
Like all of these livelihoods. Yo, I mean, if anybody is in a strip club throwing $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, and you ain't gave $1,000 to Cool Herc, you're a dick. Period.
I love that statement.
Period. If, you know what I'm saying? Like the things that we're doing,
if we're
not reflecting on where we come from and who we are and the walk, yo, we missing the point. And that's where you guys come in. You can make these corrections. You can make these stances. You are the voice.
How do you think?
And it's important.
What do you think we can do? I really do spend a lot of time thinking about the giving money back to older hip-hop artists. I don't know how that goes about
happening.
Yeah,
like these cats don't have health care. These cats don't, you know, like some of them are struggling to pay rent. And we're all, and I'm throwing myself into we're all, but I'm probably closer to them, that, you know, like cats are making livelihoods and you know, private jets and this, that, and the other, and literally spending $50,000 on strippers when the culture's falling apart. And they need to have an understanding to that walk. And if they decide to do that behind that, then that's their prerogative. But at the end of the day, let them at least know where we stand as a people.
I think that's
like, yo, it's really
who's
important.
Who's going to manage this? There's going to be corruption.
I mean,
anytime there's a bunch of money somewhere,
at the end of the day,
there's
like,
corruption.
Let's not even play for accolades. Like everybody just take it upon yourself.
But real quick,
if you're having a good year, share that.
For the sake of argument, though,
yeah.
When it comes to corruption, you know what one of the biggest things when it comes to corruption is? Not being able to speak back to people because they've been around so long.
Mm.
Now, in the case of Chuck D, he's not corrupting anything. But my point is, we can't have the attitude of we cannot converse, maybe harshly at times, with those who are older than us. That's why the church gets fucked up. That's why so many things get fucked up.
I do agree.
Because no
with
one
that.
Believes in asking questions.
I do agree.
Like, Chuck is a human being. Right. Now, in this case, Chuck didn't do anything wrong. He was just giving an opinion. But what I'm saying is he can do wrong.
Yeah,
he's
right,
a human.
Right. And he needs to be questioned.
KRS
can
do wrong. We
needs
can
to be
all
held
wrong.
Accountable. Yeah, I take my word for it. I've bumped my head plenty of times in my career.
Right,
you know
and obviously I already have now, too. So
you know,
I understand.
Yeah, and it happens. And what you're saying is right. And that's, again, is where the divide is coming. Yo, it's not that we're not going to make mistakes. We need to know how to address each other when we do make mistakes. And we're not supposed to come at you on some, you know, like you don't belong here. Yo, you're a voice. You're an important voice. But if you make a mistake, the people need to let you know.
Right.
And I'm very, very glad and very proud that you humbled yourself and was like, you know what? I did that wrong. Pardon me. And you know what? Let's do better from, you know, we can move forward from today forward.
And, yeah,
we don't have to be a prisoner of our past.
Now, I have a more important question to get to when it comes to the De La Soul concert. Did you do your performance off of Balloon Mind State at the concert?
I did Flavor of the Month and Choice is Yours.
So you didn't do your record with them?
Nah.
You just jumped right to, which record did you do on Balloon Mind State?
I just put that on my phone this week. Balloon Mind State.
I did,
you're on there twice. Aren't you?
I think I did a Saturday's remix. The first record I ever rhymed, the first time anyone ever heard me was on the De La Soul. De La Soul is Dead, Fanatic yes. of the B Word.
You did all the, but you did all the skits too, right?
Long did the skits. Yeah. Long's hilarious, dude.
No, you weren't on there at all?
Didn't
you have like a skit on there?
No, I didn't. Long did all
the
skits.
Oh, no, I'm thinking, I'm thinking of
Yo, I hate that De La's now on iTunes, but they're not on Spotify.
And even De La, like this is my word, like case in point, the De La show itself, Irvin Plaza, sold out
of course.
To the rafters. De La gets, you know what I'm saying, like they are the quintessential group in hip hop, and I think everyone would agree with that. And literally, there's not, I can't think of a better performer.
Oh, no.
Then De La.
With De La, I think they consciously made a choice, though.
Yeah, me too. I think De La did a great job.
They're like, we're going to stick to this lane, and we're going to beat the shit out of it. You know what I'm saying?
And a lot of people are going to become good performers.
Yeah, but that lane is hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally.
But
they speak, man. Like,
no,
they,
absolutely. But I think it's like, we're not going to be huge superstar rappers, and let's not even attempt to be. Let's make De La music for De La fans,
right.
And do great De La shows.
Because a lot of artists lose it,
which is success
when they continue to try. Though for a lot of artists, they end up falling off and getting disrespected a little bit because what you remember was them still forcing out these records that right. You're like, oh no, that's not it.
Yeah.
You know, you're another example. You decided in like after Without a Doubt, whatever it was, when you started doing Drez the Black Sheep solo stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was to college radio. It was to underground. It was to Europe.
Yeah.
You were just like, that's where I'm going to go.
I mean, honestly, and that's because everyone's perception of success isn't the same. Like, when I was young, my perception of success wasn't to be what Jay-Z and Puff are. I didn't care to be a 100 millionaire, like, or the first billionaire.
Not
like,
to mention that you couldn't have even fathomed it back
first,
then.
Yeah. Honestly, there were no millionaires in the game back then.
Right.
Silly, none. But that wasn't my idea. That wasn't who I wanted to be. And I'm glad, I'm happy for those that did accomplish that. But that's not everybody's goal. That doesn't mean success to everyone.
Of course not.
You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes, you know, literally being a real voice that's respected. This is my word. I walk around New York, any borough, any projects, anywhere, by myself, respected. Like that's something money cannot buy.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? And this is my word. Like, that's my win. Like, you know, and that I'll take the time. I speak at high schools, junior high schools. I'm on a urban arts partnership board. You know what I'm saying? With Rosie Perez. I deal with, you know what I'm saying, the arts programs in the high schools of kids. I've made rhymes about passing the Regents that kids use to help them study for the Regents. Like, these are things that, you know what I'm saying,
that a lot of cats don't do.
So let's start there. What did you
don't
want?
Act like you know what regions are. You fucking
out of town. My kids will know.
That's
though.
A New York shit. You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Without question.
Yo, but my kids are going to know. I'm going to have to know about it
nah,
at some point.
They probably won't have regions. Right.
So where did the story start for Drez? What was the first... I don't even know where you were born.
I was born in Queens, New York.
Okay, where
Queens?
In
Queens?
Yeah, I'm from Astoria Projects.
Astoria Projects in Queens.
Building 105, 1-05 Astoria Boulevard.
Yo, I know a chick over on Astoria Projects.
I know a few. I know a few.
Yeah, I bet you do. She's kind of
bad. Born in Queens.
All right, so born in Queens.
Yeah. Between Astoria Projects and the Bland Projects in Flushing.
What was your...
with my parents. And I actually moved to North Carolina. My stepfather was in the Army and moved us as a family to North Carolina, which was where I met Long.
Mm-hmm.
And
how long were you there for?
I was there from junior high school.
How long were you there for?
Like I moved down in junior high school and went to high school there. The week I finished high school, I came back to New York. But I would come back every summer. You know what I'm saying? So I was kind of there.
Where in North Carolina?
In Fayetteville. Okay. Fayetteville. And I spent 1 year in a small town called Sanford. But Fayetteville was dope. Big shout out to everybody from Fayetteville, E.E. Smith High School. Dope high school. A school that made me understand how cool it was to be smart. Because I moved from New York, and, you know, I kind of had these preconceived notions about Carolina and, you know, just the racism.
Everybody in New York,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I get to Fayetteville, and it's an all-black high school. And I was blown away that everybody looked just like me, and being smart was the cool thing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if you was running around nutting up, you was kind of frowned upon. Like, Cass wasn't even really messing with you because you was kind of stopping them from being who they were supposed to be.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Literally. And it gave me a dope insight to myself. It kind of pushed me to, you know, to take school seriously and look at things beyond, you know, my corner, you know, or where I came from.
From Queens.
Yeah.
You're half Puerto Rican, right?
Yeah.
I just
came from Puerto Rico.
Gym.
Yeah, I just came from Puerto Rico last
you
week.
You found out at Summer Jam?
Yeah.
I was about to, it's so weird that it's where you went. I was about to say, what is your ethnic background? Because you don't look just black. You look like, I could see you be Puerto Rican.
Yeah,
and
I'm black and Puerto Rican.
So you're black and Puerto,
Puerto
Rican.
My
father.
My father's Puerto Rican. My mother's
black.
That's why
you look like special ed.
Big shout out to my family in Puerto Rico. I'm actually a relative of Ismael Rivera. I don't know if you know what that is.
No,
he's a famous salsario in Puerto Rico. He's probably the biggest. I'll go into a gift shop in Puerto Rico and my uncle's face is on
you,
on
like
t-shirts.
You know him? Like you're cool with him? It's not like a
I haven't seen him since I was a baby. Right. So I was with his son out there. His junior as well is a very famous singer on the island. Very famous. Globally. Very famous. And they made what was known as street music, you know what I'm saying, for in Puerto Rico. And
so were you close with your father?
I was until the separation.
Okay.
You know, I was my father took me. I was so close with my father as a child. He took me to see Fritz the Cat, which is an X-rated movie. I was probably about 6-7 years old. Like we were
probably
very
why
close.
Your mom said you need to be.
I think we understand the separation now.
But
took
you
to a porno.
Do you relate to your Puerto Rican side?
Yes, I do, but I spoke
it's
Spanish.
It's not prominent.
It's becoming prominent again. Oh. Like the separation definitely had its effect on me. I spoke Spanish fluently before the separation.
Oh.
And then it wasn't in the house for about 9 years.
Right.
So I lost it, and I'm really just starting to gain all that back again. And I just came from Puerto Rico. I just got married in Puerto Rico.
Oh, shit.
And, yeah.
Congrats.
Thanks a lot. And I just saw that side of my family that I haven't seen in many, many years. And I can't wait to get back because I had such a good time and was able to rekindle things that I hadn't. You know,
where'd you get married?
In La Mejia is a resort in Puerto Rico right on the water.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I thought about getting married in Puerto Rico. It's gorgeous.
Oh, it's beautiful.
So you're down there. You went to North Carolina through high school.
Yeah.
And Long, you met him in high school?
I met Long in high school, my senior year in high school. I only knew Long about a year, but what was cool was that I was in a really, I went from this all-black high school to an all-white high school my senior year. My mom became the director of social services in a small town. And so now I'm going to the school, and I really... It was everything that I feared, you know what I'm saying,
right.
When I initially came out. It was, you know, it was a little racist and all the other, but it had a little click. And the thing that we all had in common was that we were all from New York, you know what I'm saying? And so every day, literally, my man Stan.
Black kids?
Yeah.
How many? How many in the school? Can you count them?
No, it's my little clique. It was probably about 7 of us. One was from Philly. There was my man Rondu, D-Ski, who's from Philly. My man Stan, he's from the Bronx. Long was from Brooklyn. I was from Queens. And couple of others, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, New Yorkers always find each other.
Oh, without question.
Oh,
and the thing that really, how hip-hop happened for us was that my man Stan, who would have been the third black sheep, but kind of, you know, wound up getting locked up a few times for and doing some real time. But my man Stan, it was his room. Every day he had the coolest mall.
So every day, literally every day after school, we go to his house. He had turntables, mics. And so we're all cutting, rhyming. All of us could cut. All of us could rhyme. You know what I'm saying? We're making these tapes for each other and just making dope sounds every day, stealing whatever vinyl we could because, we, you know, literally we're in high school. So, you know, like whatever, however we could get vinyl, we're getting it. And it wasn't even a chance of us making a record. There was no one to send it to. There was, we're doing it for each other.
Yeah.
But if we do, you do something every day for a year, you become nice at it. Mm-hmm. So by the end of, you know, my senior year, we were all qualified, like, you know, dope MCs, dope DJs, because that's just what we did for the love. So, you know, give or take a year, a few years, I'm a few years young, older than Long. I come back to New York. I decided, my father was kind of a big hustler. When I was a kid, he was a big heroin dealer, and for some stupid reason, I decided that that's what I wanted to come back to New York and do. When I get back to New York, he's a whole different person. I haven't seen him in 9 years. He's a totally different man. Doesn't even relate to that anymore.
You didn't speak to him in those 9 years?
No, at all.
Not at all?
At all.
Nothing.
Like, literally, my mother, like, took us and was like, he was a character. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It was damn near a pimp, hustler, really? All of the above. And, you know, my mom was just like,
she just deaded it.
Yeah, deaded it, like, in totality. So I come back to New York, and I find him, and I'm thinking we're about to do our BMF or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I'm, you know, so when he's, like, not that person, I take it upon myself to kind of use accolades that he already has established and kind of jump into it with both feet. I got my own little crew that I grew up with, you know what I'm saying, that are now doing what they do. And it was probably
why that route, like, just money, like, just
sincerely. It was a huge mistake.
You didn't have any other outlet or
no? Nah, I did.
Like, what did you want to do?
I did. I just felt like you know how a son emulates a father, like how it's really important that fathers.
Yeah, so you were in your like see like when you're like 17, 18, like
thinking cause that,
I, like me, I went 5%.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
You didn't have a father.
Like, is that I didn't have a father. But it's that age where you're like trying to like,
you're trying to identify yourself,
and you whatever you pick, you go at it heavy,
right?
You know what I'm saying?
Very true, very true.
And so you went with that white.
I went hard. Yeah. I did. And I just say I went hard, and I was really fortunate, even though I was unfortunate. I was one of the first people locked up by TNT, the task force that New York created behind the crack epidemic, and I was really fortunate that. I was able to kind of do that early and get that out of my system. I did 10 months on Rikers Island. When Coogee Rap dropped Rikers Island, I was on Rikers Island.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Word. And it was everything.
You were what, 19?
Yeah.
Rikers Island?
It was everything that record says and more. Yeah. Like, it was dead serious, especially then. And from there, I did 10 months in the halfway house. Now, in the halfway house, I got in college. I found a job. I started doing the things that I should have came to New York and done to begin with.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you try to take a shortcut only to learn that the shortcut is the long way. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And that was the experience that I had, you know, kind of had to go through. The next year, I bump in along walking down. I'm coming from work. I'm going to school and working. I bump in along on the street of Manhattan walking by me.
Literally
walking by me. And I'm like, oh, my God, what's going on with you? Well, you know, what's the deal? He's like, yo, I just got up here. He's had been in touch with Red Alert, you know what I'm saying? So every summer he was coming to New York. He was in the studio for the making of the Jungle Brothers first album.
Why was he there? Who's he?
Who, Red?
No, Long.
Long.
Who did he know to be in there?
Long. He knew Red Alert. This is how it all comes together. Red Alert had came down to North Carolina with Sparky D and the Real Roxanne back when that record, you know, and all of that was popping. Yeah. He sees Long. Long was like the opener for that set, for the show. Long was so small, he's standing on milk crates to cut. So small, but dope. One of the dopest DJs you'd ever have heard. You know what I'm saying? Literally killing it. So Red is impressed with him. Like, yo, you know, little man, this and the other chopping it up. When Long's like, yo, I'm from Brooklyn. I'm in New York every summer. Red gives him his number. Yo, get up with me when you come up. So when he comes up, Red's, you know, taking him around. Oh. So he's in the studio for the Jungle Brothers first album.
Crazy.
Long actually did the cuts on Buddy. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy
and
shit.
Just to say, you know what I'm saying, at the end of the day, yeah. So I bump in along, and I'm like, you know, what's good with you? What you up to? He's like, yo, I just got up here. He tells me his little story real quick. He's living in Brooklyn in a studio apartment with his aunt, her man, and a baby.
Jeez,
their kid.
That sounds good.
In a studio. But mind you, I just came out of this halfway house. I'm working and going to school. I got my first apartment in the Bronx, 183rd and Valentine. I got a 2-bedroom. I'm like, yo.
What?
I'm 83rd? Like, yeah, 183rd of Valentine. It's my first apartment. I'm Queens
kid. Off of Fordham?
Right off of Fordham.
By the movie theater?
Right by the movie
Holy
theater.
Holy shit. Word up.
You know what I'm saying?
I probably ran into this guy.
Probably so. God bless Pee Wee, my dude. Yeah, I'm right around the corner from Sammy B and the whole nine. But just say, so I'm like, yo, I'm saying, I got my own apartment. You my little man. Yo, come crash with me. He moves all of his equipment, records, this and the other, up to the Bronx. And then from there, he starts introducing me to the native cats. You know what I'm saying? Like, right. He, like I said, like, he's done made a relationship with everybody. So now I meet all of these cats. And
shit.
I'm like, wow, yo, Long, you know, like, we been doing what they do, you know, for a minute. Like, we could put some stuff together. He had, as a DJ, you're going to respect this. He has stacks of music that he would say maybe three in this pile, maybe five records in this pile, maybe two records in this pile. Each one of those stacks represented the loops.
Right.
That would go into a record. And he would play me the loops and be like, I want to put this on top of this and this on top of this.
But I had
and
no way to just actually put it together.
He didn't have no equipment.
He just had the music prepared.
He just had it in his head. Wow. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And this is where...
Because the Black Sheep album has mad stacks of sounds and
samples. Over 40 samples were cleared on that record.
You cleared them?
Biz had just got sued. Which is another reason why those kind of records aren't even made today. Of course.
That's,
you know what I'm saying?
Whole other story.
But just to say, you know, so we decided to put a demo together. And, you know, I had a bunch of jewelry and all this stuff. We're going to a pawn shop, you know what I'm saying? And I pawn all my jewelry. And right there in the pawn shop, I give Long half the money. I'm like, yo, we're partners now. We're going to use this money to make a demo. We'll ask Red and them to help us to see if we can get a deal. We go, we make a demo. Everyone's blown away.
What's the demo?
What's the demo?
Was it any of the songs on the album?
The only song that was on the album is Counting Sheep. But there was two other songs that weren't. And so we played. Red had a cat named Funkin' Klein working for him. God bless. Funkin' Klein? Yeah.
I mean, Funkin' Klein comes up on every podcast now.
Yo, Dave, dope cat. Dope cat. God bless him. So Funk hears it. He's blown away. Everybody's like, oh, snap. Like, wow. You know what I'm saying? We've been with them for a little bit of time.
You had the
now.
Name Black Sheep?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, like I said, I pawned my jewelry. Like, you know, like, they were wearing medallions and this and the other. I just came home and, you know, I was like, yo, Long, we're kind of the black sheep of this crew.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of how it happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So we played this stuff for Funkin' Klein. And Red has him make some phone calls on our behalf. Like, yo, call a few labels, see if they take a meeting with him. Funniest part of this. Shit. We wanted to sign a Def Jam. Huge fans of Def Jam, especially coming from Carolina. Everything that was Def Jam, we had to have it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They kind of represented the culture thoroughly at that point. So, you know, we take a couple of meetings, but when we get to Def Jam, we have a meeting set up with Leo. And
Here comes the voice.
I put the cassette on his desk, and he's not even looking up. He's barely looking up. If it's right now, just let's say it's March. You know, he's like, Black Sheep, oh goodness, if it's March, he's like, I'm not even going to be able to listen to this until July. And I'm like, you know, like, for real? He's like, yeah, for real. So I'm like, shit, we might as well take off. Shit, I grabbed the thing. I was like, yo, thanks for your time. And we break out. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't hear it or anything. I'm like, yo, I ain't going to leave it later for it. He's going to tell us that later for this, man. He's not into it. So we take meetings with other cats.
July.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
I won't get to this till July.
Right. So we take meetings with other cats. Everything's kind of going successful. The next day, I get a call at my house, you know, this was prior to having cell phones. And he calls me at my house. I don't even know how he got the number. Is this Dries? Yeah, this is Drez. What's up? This is Leo Cohen. I have a limousine on the way to come get you right now. They said, we're going to sign you to Def Jam.
What?
I'm like, yo, I'm saying, dude, I say, have you heard our music? It's a long pause. I hear it's phenomenal. I hear it's incredible. I was like, yo, we were just in your office yesterday. Don't worry about that. That's nothing. The limousine should be there. I was like, yo, you can tell the limousine to turn around. We're good. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. You know what I'm saying? Just dead that right off the
week. Whoa.
Like, because my whole thing is like, yo, like, nah. This is not who I want to be running with. Like, if he's looking at me and at us and even the artist that he, I'm feeling sorry for the artist on Def Jam if this is how he gets down. And I kind of bumped my head after that. I'm going to tell you an even further funny story because now I'm mad at Russell. For having this dude as the head of something that I totally respect. I'm right. Like, yo, why you got this dude? He's a dick. Why is he the head of Def Jam when it's Def Jam? You know what I'm saying? So we get signed
to... You was caught up.
I was caught up.
I'm a kid.
And I did something... hip-hop fucking...
And I made a mistake. And this is my word. I made a mistake that probably... I still probably pay for on some level. So we get signed to Mercury.
Dave Gossett, who signed us, Dave Gossett and Lisa Cortez, big shout out to them. They signed us, and he used to work at Def Jam. So I'm at a seminar in Atlantic City. He's sitting with Russell Simmons. I had stepped off to the bathroom. When I come back, Russell Simmons is sitting in my chair. It's a table like this big, with seats all around it. And I don't know Russell, but I want him to know who I am. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a little upset with him about the whole Leo thing, because I'm looking at him like, you know, like, how do you have this dude that honestly just doesn't give a fuck, other than nothing but the bottom line is obvious, representing you? And I'm feeling like, I'm feeling a ways. And instead of me sitting in the chair right here, I woke up to Russell's chair, and I'm like, yo, get out of my chair, man.
No, you didn't.
I did. And this is my word. Yo.
And what'd he say?
He got up, and he walked away. You know what I'm saying? Like, he didn't stay. He just got up and walked away. And so I sit down with Dave, and Dave is dying laughing. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I didn't. It was the mistake of a child, which is kind of what goes on in hip hop right now. Like, you know, the young cats will really bump their head talking to an older cat when they really should have just sat down next to him and took in what was going on. Nonetheless.
Why were you so offended that Lior, you know, called you the next day? I mean, I get why.
I mean, you know, I bought him.
What's that noise at the camera?
I don't know what that is. Yeah, maybe.
Can you get Eugenia or somebody, whoever that was?
I mean, it went a little further.
If it happened today, you would get in a limo.
Nah. I wouldn't get in a limo, but I would have sat next to Russell.
You wouldn't have gotten in a limo?
Nah.
After everything you know, 20 years later, you wouldn't? Because, like,
maybe they still would have paid attention. Here's the question. Why did he call you and want to sign you?
Because it was obvious that, you know, he heard from cats, you know, that we
so he probably said he probably said, I interviewed this kid, comes in and he stormed out, and people said, who? And he said, Dre is from this guy. And then they go, oh, that guy's fucking awesome. You think that's
possibly
what happened?
I mean, you know, even further, right, Chris Lighty's the manager at this point. Chris Lighty becomes our manager. First group, I helped Chris start
learn how to manage.
We were one of the first. Well, you know, he's road managed for Jungle Brothers, but we were the first group he managed. You know what I'm saying? So when we get the deal, Chris comes to me. He's like, "Yo, you know, I'm trying to, you know, get Violator off the ground. Deciding in my company, would it be cool if I had Mercury write the check to me, to my company, and I in turn turn it over to you guys?" And I trusted him wholly. And I was like, "Yeah, Chris, that's cool with me. I have no problem with that. It's not like I don't trust you." And that was the first check Violator ever got. Mm. You know what I'm saying? That was the beginning of Violator.
Wow.
So he
wanted to have a check on the books.
Right, exactly.
Towards Violator.
Right, exactly. And that check was the Black Sheep deal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit.
How big was that check?
It was, for the time, you know, I think it was maybe a buck and change.
All right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, which was great for the time.
Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? It's great. Hey, by the way, it's great again right now.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. Right. Very true. So just to say, so Chris comes back to me, you know, as we're, you know, working on the album. He's like, "Yo, I'm about to go with Def Jam. I'm about to sign with Def Jam. I'm about to be, you know, working with Leo and this and the other." I'm like, "Yo, I can't mess with them, bro. Like, I can't mess with this dude. Every vibe I've gotten from him, you know, my heart is like, nah." Which is how we wound up being with Flavor Unit. Sha made the call. I mean, Chris made the call to Shaquem and was like, "Yo, you know, I'm about to go to Def Jam. These guys don't want to come over here. Would you work with them?" And that was the beginning of our relationship with Flavor Unit. But nonetheless, while he's over there, he sets up a show for Black Sheep or at the Beacon. It's the first time we ever played the Beacon. We were with Slick Rick and a whole bunch of other Def Jam artists. And this really solidified that I had made the right move in my mind. I'm there for, you know, before the show, Leo's there. And, you know, he sees me. And he's like, you know, "Oh, God, what the fuck is he doing here? These guys are pieces of shit." And this is my word. I really had to say, I'm like, "Yo, dude, I will stab you." Like, literally, like, "Yo." And I had to catch myself and was like, "You know what? I'm not on Def Jam. Let me just slide over here." But it told me everything in my head. Like, "Yo, I'm so glad I don't have to deal with this dude." Just to hear how he talked about Rick and just how he talked about the artist and the bullshit that he tried to say out the side of his mouth to me, thinking that it was going to be cool. I was like, "Nah, this isn't someone I can really deal with on a day to day." Granted, he's made cats trillionaires and all that.
We got it.
But as a person,
that doesn't mean it would work for you guys, though.
Right? Exactly. And like I said, and
there are plenty of acts.
And everybody's idea of success isn't the same.
And not only that, and also not only that, there are acts who got signed to Def Jam and nothing good happened, and that could have been Black Sheep.
Plenty.
That could. It's hard to picture an album that sounded like yours being on Def Jam. I can't quite picture it. So maybe it wouldn't have worked out.
Possibly. You know, possibly.
Exactly. I mean, you know, who knows? But, you know, I was strong in my convictions at that time. But definitely made some major mistakes. Like, when I finally got the opportunity to apologize to Russell. It was at a party when Obama got elected. That's how long
that's how long the divide was.
I did not think it was good. I thought it was like, it was Queen Latifah's gold album.
Nah, peep this. So I rolled up on him. You know what I'm saying? We all at this party together. And I was like, Russ, I was like, yo, bro. I was like, Cecilia, I owe you an apology. I was like, you know.
Did you remember?
He fainted like he didn't, but his smile told me that he did. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He was like, you know, like, for what? And I was like, yo, a long time ago, as a youngster, I kind of made a mistake. I said, honestly, it came from an honest place. I just wanted you to know who I was. I said, but I did something I should have done. I didn't go into it.
Yeah.
And he looked at me, smiled. He smiled. He's like, I don't remember. But he's smiling at me. He's letting me know that he does.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
And
that meant a lot to me. So. You know what I'm saying? Right. Exactly. Like, and which leads us right back to you.
Right.
There's times when you'll feel passionate about something that you just don't frame it correctly.
Well, I'm glad that I waited. I'm glad that I apologized before running into Chuck D at Malia Obama's inauguration.
Me too.
Okay, so let's get into the album part a little bit.
Okay.
This podcast sucks.
Why are you upset?
Because we went too much into you in the beginning.
All right, now.
I need to know Wolf and Sheep's Clothing.
Well, that's where we're going.
It's one of my favorite albums of all time. You know he's doing my show tonight, right?
Tonight,
he's doing my improv show tonight. I'm just letting you know. I told Be Real. He did my show in L.A.
Oh, yeah? Excellent.
I told Be Real. I don't know how it's going to happen, but somewhere in this hour, you and I will be performing Stone is the Way of the Walk together. And he looked at me like I was insane. And at the end of the night, it happened.
Yeah, that's
so,
what
just so you know.
We going to do Choice?
No. Choice?
Well, I don't know.
What
I'm
do you
want to
do, Saif? I'm going to play it right now. I'm just asking.
I don't know. What
song, Saif? Oh.
Woke up. Didn't choke up. So my AK. It was broke up.
You know what, though?
I got
something I'm going to be delivering to you soon.
Okay.
I did a live version of The Choice Is Yours that I'm going to be releasing this
summer. That's hot.
Yeah. I'll
so just be ready.
Time.
Is there an instrumental for that?
Is that past the 40?
If not, we got to go a cappella.
There will be one.
What is it called?
I Thought It Was Hard.
I Thought It Was Hard. No, that's not what it's called. That's not what it's called.
You mean I'm not? Yeah.
I actually made an instrumental of it. I took the original sample.
Hold on, let me play this for the people. For a second.
Okay.
Yo, man, check this. I was down on Ave, man. This nigga looked at me wrong, so I put up on my fucking 9 and I smoked his ass.
Woke up, didn't choke up. Saw my AK, it was broke up. Put it together like a jigsaw. Got my 9 and my Rambo knife off the floor. Went to the bathroom and beat the rush. Yo, who the fuck
used my toothbrush? Lady ass, sassy ass, stupid ass, slut.
Stupid ass, dirty ass, man.
Shot in the leg.
Shot in the box. In the
pussy and punch her in the eye.
Clapped in the head, stepped on a corn. Don't fuck with my bitch.
Word is born.
Went downstairs, he went my phone.
Ma, you broke my fucking egg out.
Punch in the chest, got on a cheek. Then I did a sweet knock the bitch.
You know what's cool?
I did a
live version of this with the Black Rabbits.
Was that a band?
That hasn't been released yet.
Oh my
yeah,
God.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just so you know.
Okay.
That's going to happen. Yeah. Anyway, so go ahead. The Wolf in Sheep's Clothing.
Yeah, so how does this album start? What's the plan?
Wait, so hold on. So right before that, sorry. So
and I got flew to London behind that. I got flew. The CEO of PolyGram wanted to meet me behind the lyrics.
Because of that?
This. Yeah.
Why?
He was like, you know, I don't understand it. He was like, I don't understand this. He literally flies us to London. We sit down in his restaurant called Zen. And he's, you know, it's the first time I meet Alon Levy. And I'm, you know, he's like, you know, this created so many feelings in me, and he starts comparing it to being a prisoner in Germany, as a Jew. You know, he's like, I was a child of prison camp and this, that, and the other, and I was like, whoa. Let me tell you what I was coming from.
And it sparked.
And it just gave him these feelings where he felt like
he needed to talk to me.
Fly him out here
now.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Literally happened.
So, Saif, what do you want to say before
that? No,
the album?
So you're on. Oh no. Well, Long is on. De La Soul's Dead. He's doing those
skits. Yeah.
And then how long after that you start recording? Like
no, we're
like
recording at the time.
Oh, at the time.
We're recording
okay.
at the time. That
so
just
you're
happened.
Bouncing around. So from we heard from Q-Tip, we've heard from De La. Busta was around that time.
Busta Williams and Leaders, yeah.
Who else in this era?
Oh, of Native Tongues?
Yeah, but who's the guy?
Chia Lee's not out yet.
Chia Lee told a story.
No, not Chia. Well, not he's not out yet, but he's around.
No, Chia Lee was around. Chia Lee and
very young,
the white
very
guy,
young.
Our boy Dante.
Dante Ross, right?
Yeah, so all met, like all these stories. One day, if anyone put all these podcasts, this Native Tongue studio sessions with Jungle Brothers and Tribe. It's fuck, I want to hear your side of it. So cool. It's all recording at the same time.
Yeah, we're all working, you know what I'm saying, at Calliope. Calliope was just like, I wish we could do how we used to do. We would all meet, whoever session, didn't matter, De La session, Tribe
right.
session.
Everybody's
we'd
there.
Be there. And we'd all be critiques. The whole thing, to me, when we were recording the first album, I knew if I could impress the room, I wasn't worried about the public.
Right.
Because everyone there, I'm a fan of, first of all, I'm like the last one in the room.
Yeah.
So everybody's already got music out, so I'm already knowing who these cats are and the power of Native Tongue. I think I even understood the power maybe more than they did. Like, yo, like, this is powerful.
Because you were able to see it from a fan's perspective
exactly.
more. Right.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, so my whole objective, sincerely, was to impress the cats that's in the room. And when we did You Mean I'm Not, like, my whole thing was like, you know, I had everyone in the room. I was like, all right, we need y'all to listen to this. And we played that for them, and everyone falls out.
Oh,
falls on the
to.
Floor. Right? And I was like, we won. Like that was the win for me. I was like, yo, that's who...
When in the album did you record that song? Was it the last song?
Nah. It was probably right in the middle.
Like, you heard the beat and was like, oh, hold on.
You know what? It was the concept. We put the beat to the concept.
Oh, you had the concept.
Because, and this is kind of what I told Alon Levy in London. Like, and this is kind of a deep record. It's at the beginning of gangster rap. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming from a place where, you know, I'm coming from Rikers Island, Halfway House, this and the other. I wouldn't dare make those records because, in my opinion, I would have just been setting cats up to go where I just came from.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I never made those records. It was important. Don't get it twisted. It was important that you knew where I came from and knew a degree of my walk. But I didn't want to hustle my vices. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I felt like that was a vice. And secondly, I felt like us as a people, especially as people of color, anytime that we have the audacity to point a gun, to stab, to take from each other, we could be family members. They've done broken us up to that degree where we don't even recognize one another as 100%. Brothers and sisters.
Gems.
And I brought it right back to my crib, whereas I'm doing all of this to my family, but I'm looking at us as a people. Like, you know, anytime, you know, a brother robs a brother, you could literally be related. But we're not seeing each other in that light. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so the concept was there before we even had the beat. You know what I'm saying? And Long kind of played with it, you know what I'm saying? And literally, it was just a couple of loops and him on top of it. And I just came with the rhyme.
Fucking great. So, yeah, so other songs.
It's hilarious. Like, we love both that and Slaughterhouse.
Yeah. The same. It's almost the same
concept, right?
Yeah, same idea.
Masta Ace has, where he's pretending to be a gangster rapper.
Oh, yeah? Oh, that's what's up.
You never even heard it, have you?
No, I haven't.
God, Slaughterhouse album?
Oh, I've heard some cuts on it, but I...
It's like the first song. Same thing, like an intro.
I actually did a joint with them. Big shout out to Slaughterhouse. I think they're...
No.
The Slaughterhouse album by Master Ace. But Slaughterhouse, I shout to them too. But just say shout out to Master Ace as well. He's dope. Ace is a true champ.
Okay, so...
So did Long produce all those songs?
Long did like 98% of that album. On the second album, I started doing some of my own production. You know, and contributed. But Long, I say probably the only song I really did as far as the first album was probably Similac. I kind of identified those loops.
Yeah.
But Long, you know, basically helped me put that together.
Yeah. What was his machine? Wait, are you still cool with him or?
We don't really, I can't say we're cool. No. You know, like, we definitely as men went in two different directions.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, I wish him the best. Don't wish any malice on him. He's like a little brother to me that we just don't get along.
Yeah.
Where does he live?
I know he was in Florida at a point. I think I heard he might be in California at this point, but I'm not really sure. I know he's working on a project with Razzcast. So I wish them both.
Well, that is the best most random thing you could have ever told us in life.
So he does the beats. What do you know what he was using?
And what percentage of the beats do you say he did?
Probably about 95%.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Long was way before his time.
He did
like
Similar Child?
That's probably the only one that I really kind of.
Well, guess what? It's my favorite one. So I say you go solo.
But that album. For being his first time producing, it's crazy.
It's beastly.
He put, like, and it sounds
beastly. Like I said, though,
it's crazy.
He had these stacks of records
when he moved in, yeah. and these were records on the album. Like, right. like he had them.
So
he,
this is in the meantime.
Right.
This is
Have You Any Pull. Yeah. This is. I mean,
this
yeah,
is
yeah,
fucking Ring My Bell for
Flavor of the Month
for Strobe
yes.
Light.
Yes. Yes.
Damn.
Yes. Yes. Like. Brilliant.
So choices yours. The first version is different.
Yeah.
That was. Well, how did this, the main one that came about?
How did the remix happen?
Yeah.
All right, so we decided that "Choices Yours" is going to be the second single.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool at this point because Mercury was letting us pick our singles, and everything changed once they jumped in. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. so we picked Flavor of the Month first. We come in with Choices second. The instrumental that we now know as "Choices Yours" was actually offered to Chi Ali. She turned it down.
Good thing God.
And by the way, here's what the original.
And I was like, Long, don't ever play anything for someone until you play for me right. first, because yeah. no one's supposed to hear
yeah,
this.
What, like,
here's
like, this guy.
Here's what the original sounds like. Back middle to the front, don't front. What a good time, wanna give you what you want. Can I hear a hey? Now get a yo. You gotta hang. I actually like it more in retrospect than I realized. That liked at the time.
That's dope.
Oh, it's dope.
It's pretty dope. It was dope. I mean, we picked it as the second single.
Choice of Yours original is dope. But when they came with that fucking.
When she.
It's
yeah.
a rap.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chi Ali.
Yeah. Yeah. She was like, for whatever reason, it was like they passed on it, and I was like, whoa. Let me, you know what I'm saying? So that became the remix, and I actually wrote three totally different verses. And I got to give a big shout out to Dave Gossett and Cortez to say that they were able to say, look, you know, we like the three new verses you wrote, but let's keep the first two verses and let's just take that Engine wow. number nine part and make
Woo,
that the third verse.
That's the label huge, people said that?
Huge, yes.
Yo, good for them.
Yes, yeah, yeah. And, you know, a testament to them is that Gossett was our age, you know what I'm saying, that had a job, you know, as an A&R. And Lisa Cortez was pretty much open to, you know, to the artistic endeavors and developing us. You know, kind of things that really don't really take place these days. They were kind of working with us. And that was a sharp call. And us being, you know, kids, we're like, yeah, all right, whatever. You know, whatever. It doesn't even matter. You know, we could use whatever. Cool.
Whose laser disc did you guys ruin in the video? Whose laser disc were those?
I don't remember that. Was it laser disc?
Cutting, Mr. Long was cutting... But he was cutting laser discs because it looked like all shiny.
Oh, because it
shit.
Looked dope. Yeah, just yeah, to make yeah, it look. Yeah,
I don't know yeah, whose yeah. laser disc they use. Who did he? Yo, you guys fucked up my Top Gun laser disc.
Now hold on, real quick. The first thing we heard, of course, the first thing any of us heard was this.
Van Damme. You see what kind of flavor? I want. Do I want crazy vanilla?
So did this like? Oh, how quickly did this go to radio? What was the story with Flavor of the Month?
Flavor of the Month was actually the last song we recorded. Which was why it sounded brand new. You know
and, that, and y'all were so into it, probably. Like, we just finished that shit. We got to take this to Red Alert right now.
You know what I'm saying? But, yo, Red didn't play it. Red would and it's a funny story behind this. The whole setup, Long would get me into trouble, unbeknownst to me. Like, you know, he sets it up, you know, don't want to taste the chocolate. Nah. Big Daddy Kane's album was called The Taste of Chocolate.
Woo!
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, so, yeah. And now I forgot about that.
And by the way, people didn't love Taste of Chocolate. It's not like it was the most popular Kane album.
But this is my word. I loved Big Daddy Kane.
Of course
so,
you do.
So I come at Long right then and there like, yo, you can't say that. Like, yo, that's going to be taken the wrong way. I'm like, yo, Long, you
was
can't
he,
say that.
Was he dissing the album?
Honestly, and this was the interaction. I'm like, yo, Long, you can't say that. They're like, that sounds like you dissing Kane.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's like, nah, I'm not dissing Kane. I'm just saying that we're, you know... I said vanilla, I said chocolate, you know, with something different. I'm just saying that
well,
with something
flavors
different.
Flavors of the month,
right,
so yeah.
Right, right. So, you know, he told me how he felt.
Right.
But this is my word. Red had a dope relationship with Kane.
Of course.
Red didn't play that record. But just because, and we're performing at...
He didn't have to say taste of chocolate.
Yeah.
Because he could have been like, you want vanilla? Nah. You want chocolate? Nah.
Right.
But he said taste of chocolate.
Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And this is my word. Like, and this is my little man. So I'm already knowing, like, you know, like, all right, so I'm doing the Apollo. Lil Daddy Shane comes up to me.
Uh-oh.
I remember this story.
You know what I'm saying? He rolls up on me on some, yo, you know what I'm saying? Like, my brother thinks you was dissing him and this and the other. I was like, yo, first of all, and not to throw Long on the bus, but I ain't say that. But secondly, we wasn't dissing him. Like, yo, I love Kane. This and the other. Yo, let him
know. Did you see that little nigga sound checking? It was him.
but I let him know, too, as well. Like, you know, like, yo, that's my point. If anything happens to him, it has to happen to me, too. But we weren't dissing him. But for the record, I didn't say it. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's let it be clear.
Double clear.
Right.
But that's like me and you. I was like, number one, I didn't say it. Number two, Cypher Sounds my man. He didn't mean anything. I've been through that before.
Right. You know, and that was his stance. And, you know, so Shane goes on to tell me about how him, you know, how in Kane and you know, a few other large cats were sitting in front of the television, and it comes across the TV for the first time, and everyone looks at Kane like, yo, you got to go tell him new ass. And I'm like, oh, shit, you're lying. Wow. He's like, yo, for real. So Kane happened to be in the audience at that show, and this is my word, off the top of the head, I gave him a hugest shout out, you know what I'm saying, and made it a point to approach him like, yo, for real, I need to let it be known. Like, yo, my dude, though my little man said it, and though I'm with him, unequivocally, whatever happened to him would have to happen to me, but we wasn't coming at you, my dude. But, you know, but I understood his stance, and I respected it, you know what I'm saying, and had to understand Red's stance as well. So, though we got a lot of love for Flavor of the Month, it was a huge record for introducing
Ralph
us.
Daniels played the shit
definitely,
out of it.
Definitely. But there was, you know, there was a little shit with it, you know what I'm saying?
And but it's what got you on, is that what got you on the Apollo? Like, did you start getting looks before Choice Is Yours? You started getting live appearances and stuff just off of Flavor.
Just off of Flavor. Your voice.
Just off of Flavor.
Your voice and delivery was so different.
So different.
Yo, my man Bai, you remember my friend Bai?
I've heard of him. Yeah.
He actually reminds me of you. He's like from the Bronx. Right. And yo, when that song came out, he was like, yo, the way the nigga says good day instead of hello, when you thought he was going to say hello. Yo, and I was like,
you know what else is kind of cool about the video? If you get an opportunity, look at the video. You'll notice one of the dancers is familiar to you.
Who?
Mona Scott.
No.
That's my word. Mona Scott. Word up.
Yo. Are you serious?
Her hip hop legs are very real.
I can't wait to go watch
that. Alright, let's play the beginning.
Big shout to Mona. She gotta clean up some of that stuff though, but you know.
What are you doing, man?
For a second, I reckon I got you double checking. Then again, when to your needs did I beckon? Hold me only if you wanna get naked. Play me for the crowd only if you wanna wreck it. The name is Dress, like silk I get slick. Drop rhymes like a bass head, big flicks constantly. Yes, it's me, D-R-E-S.
Oh, that's a good
this
one.
This guy, you got your new toy now.
I got my new toy.
We used to play music like this.
Yeah. Now that I'm able to play something, it's kind
of
nice.
That's what's up.
All right. So Flavor of the Month. So then Flavor of the Month was before
popping,
the album.
And were y'all popping off of that? Like,
yes.
You're getting
like,
did the pussy right start rolling?
Let me tell you.
Hey!
Let me say, the record that probably stopped it from being a tremendous record was OPP. Like, it was like it was just under OPP on everything.
Well, a party record is gonna. No, OPP wasn't that much of a party record. I'm thinking of.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was a big party record.
OPP?
Yeah.
Are you? Yeah. By Naughty by Nature's life.
No, I know, but I'm still thinking how it was, because it wasn't like. It's not like up tempo. Like, Choice Is Yours is up tempo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we skipped over the part when somehow the name came about and everyone was okay with you calling your partner Sugar Dick Daddy Mr.
Well,
Ball.
I wasn't calling him that. He was calling himself that. You know what I'm saying?
Like, and did anyone go like, yo, my man, what? Like, was he really did he walk around showing people his dick? Like, was this?
I've never seen it.
Come on.
Sincerely.
You were partners with the guy. Did any girls?
I am no way interested in all. Penises. Is it 9.5?
Is it 9.5?
I honestly don't know.
Did a woman ever say to you, like, yo, for real, your man
you're like,
it
you
down?
Weren't in a hotel, right? You had connecting rooms. Door was closed. But you could hear next door and a girl was like, oh, my God, it is 9.5.
Holy shit, that's a huge cock. Like, that never happened?
Yeah, not that I remember.
You don't have confirmation. You know, you can't come remember.
You know what? But, you know, he got his share of love. I mean, you know, we definitely.
You both did all right out there.
Yeah, we did all right. We definitely did all right.
You know. So you're getting love off Flavor in the Month.
Yeah, Flavor was a great introduction for us. Sincerely.
So you're doing good for yourself. You're the thug element of the Native Tongues, even though you weren't acting off.
Even though you're
with the black sheep, a little different.
A little different.
You're doing great for Lighty.
Yeah.
Him taking a risk, managing y'all, it's successful.
Yes.
Well, and let's be realistic. Aren't you less likely to actually fight than many of the other people in Native Tongues? Wasn't De La and Lighty himself?
I fought, let me tell you, man. I fought when Chris got cut, I fought that night at MK's, slapped somebody in the head with a pool stick. Like, we tore that spot up. I fought with Mace on Peach Trees.
Who cut Chris?
This kid, some kid, we're all walking in. There's a bunch of us. We're walking in. And you know how it happened a couple of times. We're walking into MK's. And, you know, the front of a club could be crazy.
Where's MK's?
MK's at the time was Union Square-ish?
Okay.
Between Union Square and 23rd.
Okay.
And so, I think it was Union Square, right on the side by where that restaurant,
Coffee shop?
Coffee shop. Right over there. And Case was right there, right across the street. Anyway, so we're going in, and it's crowded in the front. And I guess somebody felt the way that they're ushering us in, and someone reaches out and nicks Chris.
Just randomly. Oh, shit.
Nicks him. And runs into the club. Damn. Literally ran into the club.
That's
so
a good place to run.
We realize that Chris is cut. We're like, oh, snap. From there, security's like, wait, y'all can't go. Hold on. Now they're trying to stop us. We ran over him, run into the club. Literally, everyone is looking at us like afraid because they can tell it's about to go down, but they don't know what happened. They don't know what happened. So I remember taking a pool stick and literally kicking in the half off the thing. I got the short end, and I'm next to Chris. Chris sees the dude, runs up to him, grabs him, slams him through a glass table. Boom. Oh, I start hitting him with the stick like it was on. Period. We tore that spot up. I remember another time.
Chris know him?
I don't know. Just I know that dude looked much worse than Chris at the end of that night. Another time, Red Alert. I fought right next to Red. Some cats coming out of the mouth sideways with Red Alert behind Red's son. And something I never saw ever happen in my life was Red get upset. And this is my word, Red punched the dude right in the face. Bow. And in my mind, I'm like, I can't stand here and watch Red Alert fight. I take the chair that's right next to me. I crash the kid. Boom.
Yo, damn, you're always grabbing a weapon, Dress.
Immediately, I could tell you another weapon story. I'm with Mace on Peachtree. Some kid walks up to Mace, and Mace is sized up. You know what I'm saying? Like, Mace is the big one in daylight.
Yeah, of course.
But a big kid was big, too, to his credit. He walks up to Mace and literally, like poking him, this, that, and the other. Mace hands me his glasses, punches the dude in the face, breaks his hand. There's a parking lot, the thing that says, you can park here on a triangle. I lift that up, start crashing again.
Lifts everything up.
Yo, this is my word. Like,
note to self: if you fight Drez, make sure it's an empty padded area. Cell or something.
Has to be in an open field.
That's my word. I'm definitely going to hit you with something without question because I'm not the biggest dude, but I got a little hard with me.
Okay, so let's try to guess the order of singles. Because I feel like it's Flavor of the Month. Choice is yours, Similac Child, Strobe Light Honey. But it could be Strobe Light Honey, Similac Child.
I think you might be right. Similac and then Strobe Light.
It's the other way around?
Other way around.
God
Strobe Light,
damn it.
Similac
Light. Fuck off, Dre.
Let me tell you, we picked the first two singles. We picked Flavor, we picked Choice. From the label comes in, your next single is Strobe Light. I'm like, oh, hell no. I'm like, I honestly feel like it's a huge mistake. I'm like, nah. Coming behind, Choice, our next single can't be the happy-go-lucky
label perspective, yeah.
Right, and so they're like, nah. Like,
no, we're in the club. We're staying in the club.
Right.
Yeah, they didn't want a radio record.
So I'm like, yo, I'm not coming to the video. Like, I'm not doing this. Like, this can't be our next single.
Are you not in the video?
I am.
You eventually caved.
But you know why? Because they was like, that's how we got Similac. They were like, we'll give you another single because we're only supposed to get three singles. They were like, we'll give you another single if you participate in this because I felt like it was sincerely going to hurt our career.
And did it do well? Or?
It was number 16 for the year on the dance charts on Billboard. It was a win to them, but streetwise,
it didn't do anything.
It wasn't really
so
what
why,
we were
why
trying
was
to
it
do.
On the album?
Because initially
concept.
It was a skit. It was a skit. It was a one-verse skit.
Well, it's a funny song, conceptually.
And it really happened to me. I really met the chick that really, I was drunk, you know what I'm saying? I go to her crib, and I'm like, oh, my God. Like, what the hell am I
doing
here?
That really happened.
It really happened.
Right, but
the
label's looking at it like a familiar disco beat.
Right.
And
they asked me. They asked us to extend it. They asked me, like, would you extend this skit and make it into a song? Like I said, we're kids. All right, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're not thinking that it's going to be a single.
Yeah,
we're just thinking that they like it.
But if you know what you know now, you'd be like, well, why you want us to extend
right,
it?
Right,
why are
yeah,
you picking
course,
this song
right,
to extend?
To extend right,
yeah,
right,
and then
right,
you're going to make this a single. I know.
So they leaned into us on that. And I was like, yo, I'm like, this is suicide. This can't come right behind this. We had the streets on fire. To come behind that with Strobe Light was very questionable to me. But once they promised us a fourth single with video, I was like, all right.
Oh, and that is what a perfect segue into this.
Is your jam?
I mean, here's what I have to ask Drez about since you produced this.
Well, no, I co-produced it. This is the one that had my input.
Okay, we're listening to it right now. The dog bark. What was the concept? Like,
No, but it's on beat.
It's on beat, too.
Yo, I wish you could have heard what came before. It didn't make the album.
Okay, what came before it that didn't make the album?
What came before it was a skit. And the skit was pretty dope. It was actually a Ramsey Lewis loop that we couldn't get cleared, but we had, what it was is, it was a conversation. It's me talking to a girl, and every time I talk, the dog barks, and every time she talks, it's not barking. And you know what I'm saying? But it's over this cool jazzy loop, and every time I'm trying to pick her up, but every time I say anything, there's a dog barking behind. Woof, 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 woof. Then and, you know, when she starts talking, it's quiet.
So, and is the implication there that you're a dog? Is
yeah,
that the implication
exactly.
is that men are dogs?
Exactly, exactly.
And so every time you talk, she hears the dog barking,
right, exactly.
and then it fades into the song.
and then the skit faded, but the dog stayed barking, and on beat, similar.
Oh, comes in.
Right.
Damn, couldn't clear the Ramsey Lewis though.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, well, was there a conversation? Should we leave the dog?
I mean, well, we kept it for Similac. You know, I mean, we could have done it. You know, we could have changed.
Where'd
the
you get the dog sample from?
I have no idea. I have no idea.
Was it a real
I know,
dog?
It's so
Who
different
the dog?
Back then. Right now, you go on Google dog. Right. How you do shit back then? It was
yeah,
so
yeah,
different.
Yeah. Things that exist now, like
24 track tapes. And all
Let's
that.
Talk about the girl in the video too.
Which video?
Similac child.
Oh, similar to the big.
She was from Brazil.
She was from Brazil. I actually bought my date there. I was dating a chick that I bought there. So they had me lined up for her, but they wanted to put her with Long because I was with my. You know, was with
and they were like, we don't even want to put you next to this. She was bad.
She was bad. She was
that
bad.
Song.
And she barely spoke English. Very sexy.
Really?
Very sexy.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
Yo, by the way, though, this song, I don't know, man.
I don't really act like that.
There are just certain songs that I feel like I get really excited when I feel like a song perfectly encapsulates a message. This is super nerdy,
we never
right?
agree.
So I turned it off. Okay. So like, so for example, like I did a thing recently for like Mountain Dew. They asked me to do like my top 10. If I can only choose 10 songs to play for the rest of my life, actually, that could have easily made it. It didn't. I was just whatever came to my head. But I put on the Beatles in my life, right? And I'm like, well, the reason the song's amazing is because how many times have people tried to make a song that is saying you're the most important person in my life? I was like, but the Beatles actually did it, and it feels that way, and like it actually conveys that message.
The
general horniness of this song is conveyed in the music and the bass line and the dog bark. It's just a fucking
cool.
You emotionally feel that record.
That's what's up.
Was it how was it a hit? Did people give a fuck about something like that? Was it just
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say it was a huge hit, but it was definitely respected. It was a respected song. People to this day got a lot of love for it. Literally, like, you know, it's a favorite of a lot of people.
It's hard to judge those kind of songs though, because they weren't like, you mostly get judged on those club bangers because that's the ones you see in the club. That's more like a listen to
type
of song.
But you know, it definitely was respected though. Definitely, without question. Definitely
the skits on the album, hilarious. I mean, I have a lot of Indian friends that are upset with you because you beat up that cab driver.
You know who that cab driver was? Jarobi.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, no. I can't go uptown.
Big shout to Jarobi and the whole
My meter is not working.
The whole Evertam project. I just did a, and y'all
who
know
was
I did an
girl,
album with him.
Who's the girl in Lazim?
That was, those were two friends of mine. My girlfriend at the time, which was Gwen Niles.
Stefani?
Gwen,
that'd be a story.
Gwen Niles and Jennifer Perry.
Sorry, real quick, sidebar. Did you date any women that became movie stars in your life?
Good question, Sai, based on last podcast.
Yeah.
I've dated
a few.
I've dated,
Because Sadat X just randomly drops. He's like, yeah, I was going out with Regina King.
What? For a decade, though.
Yeah.
Like a decade. Whatever. When they lived together. So you have anything like that you want to contribute?
You know what? I'm not one that really talks about.
No, but you didn't have a.
But I do know of. You know, I definitely.
He's
do.
A gentleman, Sai.
Yeah, I got it.
You know what? I honestly don't respect cats
that
really throw a lot of chicks' names out there. Like, cause
I'm not talking about chicks you just smashed.
No, someone
you
dated.
Just a random gem you might drop. We got to ask now because Sadat X is casually sprung it on us.
Yeah, like he was telling a story of his life, and he's like, I was living with Regina King at the time.
Right,
and we're
right,
like,
and we're skipping over. We were like,
hold on. That's
chill
interesting.
So,
are you going to ask about your favorite Chris Lighty verse?
We already talked about that at Summer Jam.
We got to talk about. Well, guess what?
Okay,
we weren't at Summer Jam.
Right, you're right. No, it's not. It's just something that I said to Chris Lighty. Every single
You're
time.
You're too tipsy?
you're too tipsy to operate this rig. To the point where at his daughter's sweet 16, I play it and I'm on the mic.
Which is it past the 40?
Yeah. And I'm looping it. You're too tipsy to operate this rig. You're too tipsy to operate. And he comes over. He's like, Syke, what the fuck are you doing, yo? I'm like, you know what I'm doing, Chris.
Yo, Chris was a huge fan of KRS, and you could tell in his verse. Like he loved KRS was his favorite MC. And, you know, like, even mechanically, when he wrote that verse, you could hear the influence.
Who else is on this record?
It's me, Chi Ali, Chris Slady,
Long,
Dave Gossett, who was our A&R.
Oh, and that's who that guy is?
Yeah. Dave Gossett was our A&R. We were probably the first people to put our A&R on the record.
So y'all were just all having fun, and you're like, everyone get on this.
Having a ball, man. Having a ball. Word up.
I remain sober when I drop a hit, but I put gum in my ass because I like to pop shit. When it comes to pulling guns, I might do it. But put your guard up black and I'ma run right through it. Don't sleep on the sides thinking I'm easy to beat, cause I'll be up in that ass like a bike seat. And when it comes to moaning, I'm Mr. Erection Seat. Hoes come by the crib for a free hysterectomy. I've got a dick that I brag about. I put it in fast and I drag it out. A
lot of ass talk in this verse.
Oh yeah. One of the things I always said about this album is that you could tell we didn't get a lot of ass because we were talking about so much ass. You know what I'm saying?
Before, cause this is all before anything happened.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, you know, we did okay.
They were the black sheep of the native tongues, man.
I mean, you know, we did all right, though. We did all right.
Listen, I'm going to tell you guys, you know, Swan Epstein. We can go aside a little bit, right? Speaking of which, so like last weekend, it was my friend's bachelor party, and we went to Atlantic City. And it was probably, we went through so many bachelor parties now. I'm 34, so this is one of my last friends from my college friends to get married. We went through so many bachelor parties and events of talking to no chicks whatsoever, and the adjustment I had for every bit as bad as I felt about like the Chuck D situation and everything that's happened, I had some balance in my life of that any girls I would meet and just be like, yo, you should meet us here later, they show up. That didn't, you know what I'm saying? So I relate to that change. It wasn't as strong, I'm sure, as the change you guys had when you put out a hit. But all of a sudden, to go from girls never say, they'll say sure, and then they usually don't hit you, usually don't show up. Whereas now it's like, hey, do you want to come here later? You should meet up with us. And then a couple hours later, they're texting me pictures of what they're wearing. Where are we going?
Oh, nice.
Sight, pretty impressed,
that's
right?
That's a win. That's a
what
win.
Are you saying? You're saying because of. Because of Rosenberg.
Thank Chuck D for that, sir.
I don't know. I wasn't meeting 45-year-old dudes who wanted to come talk about hip-hop.
It's a joke.
But exactly. No, just from the radio station.
No, he
just
means thank Chuck D from
back then.
From back then, yeah.
You're right, because we didn't have this whole shit. Yeah. If it wasn't for Bring the Noise, those chicks aren't coming to meet us at the pool party. But no, that is something I'm not accustomed to. So was there an adjustment period for you guys, though, of like, whoa, people are kind of feeling us in New York right now?
Yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, you know, it got to the point where, you know, there would be little isolated incidents where, you know, you kind of had to just be conscious. You know what I'm saying? Different things
and
would start taking place.
I know, now that I'm thinking about it, I remember I was with Lil' Kim and we ran into you in North Carolina, I think. I used to DJ for Lil' Kim.
Right.
And did you move back to North Carolina?
I moved to Charlotte for a little bit after the second album. After the second album, I went back to Carolina in Charlotte. I was in Charlotte for about 4 years or so.
Yeah. So I remember we saw you down there.
Yeah, no doubt.
So then,
big shout to Kim, and I heard she just had a kid. Congratulations! Yeah, I remember meeting her and C's were big, I know everybody. I have a story about her. I remember meeting, you know, C's and Kim. Big had them Times Square. They probably was about 13, 14, 15 years old.
Wow.
And it's probably about 3 a.m. You know what I'm saying? And he's got them out with him. And I just remember like, all right, cool. Well, and just identifying them through their whole career.
What did Big say? He was a fan, right?
I remember when the first time I met Big was in Virginia. He rolls up on me. He's a funny dude. Like, I wasn't close with him, but we had a mutual respect that we always.
Of course,
always,
of course.
Always,
that's
always
what everybody says about. Everybody says that about Big.
He rolls up on me and he's like, yo, at a show. And I think he was performing one of his first performances as well, you know, of Party and Bullshit. And we're in Virginia, and he rolls up on me. He's like, yo, I'm staying right here because I know the girls is about to be right here. So we're standing there. We just start chopping it up. You know,
and, you know, and that shows what a fan he was, because right. That was the image I would have had of you, too.
Right?
Like, y'all were the dudes about the ladies.
It's definitely love.
All right, so then what happened?
And, you know, we just start chopping it up, you know what I'm saying? Just on some real general, casual New York, you know, New York and Virginia.
Right.
So, you know, so we chopping it up, just laughing. And, you know,
real short. Every time we see each other, you know, we always very cordial, always very respectful. One time he invited me on stage in North Carolina. He had a show down there, and this was right before I think his second album comes out. And, you know, we're on stage. Only time I ever freestyle with him. You know what I'm saying? Just a good dude. Really, really a sharp cat. I wish I had the opportunity to do some music with him and even know him better. You know what I'm saying? He was a sharp cat.
Did you have any Pac interaction?
Yeah. Me and Pac, in my opinion, we seemed like we were destined to bump heads. But there was definitely a mutual respect. I remember the first time I was out in California. Well, not first. I was at this spot called Festival of the Lake in Oakland. I bump into Pac, and I'm like, yo, I'm trying to find some weed. And he literally has one of his boys, you know, how's that? One of his boys comes to me and gives me like literally like a half ounce. Like, yo, here, you
plenty. Good. Oh, like plenty. Respect.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, my dude. So the next time I see him, we're in Miami, where I was a little stronger. And I was like, yo, you good? He's like, yo, I'm trying to find some smoke. Oh, hit him with the same. Boom. All right, cool. So now we see each other. We're always kind of, you know, what's up, this, that, and the other. Where I say I think we were destined to bump heads, where it was like, you know, there were a couple of times when we kind of just had our own agendas and wasn't really trying to conform. One of the times was, I remember the Legion. I'm bringing out the Legion. I was actually the first artist to have, an imprint called One Love. Well, I'm bringing out the Legion and this female group called Image. This is right before Puffy gets Bad Boy. And so we're performing at Trafalgar Square. And literally it's 10,000 dudes, maybe 5 girls in this entire spot. Just, you know, just hooded out. And so so Big is supposed to go first. Then the Legion's supposed to go. And then Pac's supposed to close it out. Pac is the headline artist. I'm not even on the set, but I'm with the Legion, so I'm gonna perform their single with them.
Poof Baff?
Jingle Jangle.
I mean Jingle Jangle? I just confused the Fugees record.
What's the Fugees record? Jingle Jangle, man.
Jingle Jangle. I get two word songs confused.
So Pac decides that he's like, yo, this place is too rowdy. I'm gonna jump on with Big and not close it out. But I'm like, yo, dude, like after you and Big get off, everyone's here to see you. You're the headline. Everyone's going to be breaking out. I'm going to be trying to keep cats in the crowd to introduce my group. Won't you just, you know, or let us go first. This and the other. Long story short, Big jumps on. And I'm trying to, like, he's running with cats that I grew up with. God bless Stretch. And you know, like those are my dudes. Like, you know what I'm saying? I used to hustle in Queens and in Flushing. Stretch was in Corona and Jamaica. Just to say, known him for years, known him way before, you know, knew his crew way before Pac knew him. So, I'm telling Stretch, like, yo, talk to your man. Like, yo, on the real, he needs to close it out and understand that cats will do whatever he says. If he's acting like they should be rowdy, they'll be rowdy. If he's acting like we're supposed to be cool, then they'll be cool. You know, like, he needs to recognize his power in the situation. He's like, yo, I'm trying to talk to him, this and the other. I kind of went at Pac a little bit, where it's like, yo, dude, this and the other. Where he jumps on with Big. When they jump off, I was like, yo, y'all ready to see something real now? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, kind of. Didn't really feel his movements on that. Like, we would have little...
Right. You just could tell that you guys didn't...
Little bumps.
Not as bad as you and Lior, but you just didn't... Right. It just didn't quite gel.
At times, it didn't quite gel. Even though there was a mutual respect, whereas one time, you know, he's in the Diamond District, and he's shopping with about 20 dudes. I walk into the same store by myself, and I'm looking at him like, yo, dude, you don't really shop with 20 New Yorkers. That's not really wise. You know what I'm saying? Like, unless you're buying 20 New Yorkers jewelry as you buy yourself jewelry. You know what I'm saying? But he's not really understanding the New York walk at that point. He came to understand some things, but just say, you know, I'm looking at Stretch like, you know, all right, whatever, you know, but just to say I'm by myself buying what I'm trying to give myself. And, you know, I'm looking at him and I'm like, okay, if that's what you're going to do, cool. But when things started escalating, I kind of already saw, you know,
how it could happen.
Right. And so he says to me at that point, oh, yeah, you working with Image from Oakland. Now, that I got love for. As a saying, you know, like, he doesn't have love for anything else. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I'm looking at him like, oh, word, well, I'm glad I can make your day. You know, I'm a smart ass. He's a smart ass. That's why I said we were kind of destined to almost clash at a certain point. But there was always a respect there that we kind of tried to stay to. And God bless him. Literally, I have nothing but love for him. I hate to say any even thing despairing. I just want to tell
honest story.
That's the honest version. But I hate to say something about someone that's not there to defend it. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think
you said anything that requires defense. It was just more like y'all both had different
personalities. Did you ever get in his face and say, ba-ba, black sheep, have you any wool?
I didn't get at that Trafalgar Square. I definitely had some wear. I in the dressing room, where everyone was his whole, everyone that was in the dressing room was a Queens dude, and I was a Queens dude. Like I said, I knew all of them. So I was able to kind of confront him
without yelling
in a way
that
no one was going to interfere. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew everyone in there. So,
Syfe, he didn't.
I don't know if he said those words.
No, I don't
know. I didn't say those words.
I don't think he yelled just random things from his album.
No,
just,
why?
No, that's just not how people argue.
I do that, though. I yell random things from his album.
I know, it's different.
Baba Black Sheep, though.
If I got beat with somebody,
then you sell Baba Black Sheep.
I just yell out. I just yell, Ma, you broke my fucking egg yolk. Like, this guy's crazy.
Yeah. Now, Syfe, do you remember what the first single was off of the second Black Sheep album?
I do not.
You've seen the cover a million times. It's just black and says Black Sheep on it in
big letters.
Yeah. It was produced by Salaam Remy, I believe.
The remix, yeah.
Oh, the remixes.
Oh, you know what? Funny story.
Without a Doubt was the record.
Yeah, Without a Doubt. I think Salaam's version wound up being the single. I actually produced the single that made it get chosen. It's funny. I produced the song itself and it gets chosen for the single. They have Salaam Remy remix it, and it's better. And then Long does a remix of Salaam's mix. So Salaam's mix became the single. Long's version became the remix. And my version never came out.
And then the singles off that album, Without a Doubt, what, North, South, East, West?
North, South, East, West, that Long did a version, and Showbiz did an incredible remix. And that was the beginning of the end for us because, you know, the whole Mercury staff was different. And even the approach to how we're coming out is different. I'm seeing, like, you know how I knew it was over? I get the CD, and on the side, you know how you could read on the side of the spine, yeah. You could read the name of the group. It said Balk Sheep.
No, it didn't.
Yeah, it does. And I was like, okay, this is about to be over.
Hold on. Every version of that CD?
Every version of that CD.
If you see a copy of the second Black Sheep album,
B-A-L-C-K.
The
Sheep. I was like, okay, this shit is about to be done.
Word up. Oh, that's a great little fact.
But not on the cover.
On the spine.
Just
right.
On the spine. The cover's right.
Yeah, your spine, the cover's right, but the spine.
So somebody had a typo.
I was like,
typo.
It was just the end.
No one's even paying attention.
I took that shit very brutally. I was like, yeah, this shit is over.
Trez, before we let you go, I have a real serious issue with you, and that is that when you put out the white label for Pardon Me, as a college DJ, mm-hmm. It was the Drez white label. I was very excited about getting records back then. Mm-hmm. It was new to me. Yo, the copy you sent me was so warped.
Oh, right.
That I literally, the only way I could play it, type, you know, one of those records you get was so warped that the only thing you could do was gently press start. Mm-hmm. You had to like lay the needle on the way, press. You had to fade out the other song and just hit a drop or something. Yeah. So that was a pain in the ass.
I apologize for that. I'll owe you a piece of vinyl, man.
How do you unwarp records? I know
there's a couple different ways.
You put them in the sun.
Nah, you gotta put it under the VCR.
Oh, you told me that.
You gotta compress it under two.
With heat.
Pieces of cardboard or something.
Have you ever done it successfully?
Yeah.
It's worked?
I used two VCRs. I stacked them up and then I
Are
put
it Are you serious?
Yeah, you know who could probably tell you that? Cool Herc.
Cool Herc could probably get you unwarped a record.
Yeah. Like it's important.
Was
like,
that a segue? Was that a segue? Full circle?
Full circle, brother.
So you want to help us get Herc all locked that in for
I,
us?
I do. All right,
cool. That would be great. I would love to have him.
We could definitely.
What would you say is the percentage chance if I can get a Chuck D to show up to Peter Palooza? Would you say not high?
To Peter Palooza,
yo. Let me tell you, and this is my opinion,
damn it,
brother. Yeah. Like you're needed, man. You're a voice, and things like this happen for a reason. Let's make it into something that is supposed to be. Like you know what I'm saying. Like, don't get it twisted. Your accomplishments next to Chuck D's are minuscule. Sincerely. But
no offense.
You know what I'm
saying? Hey, by the way, Drez, you didn't need the sincerely.
Yeah, no, I did. but. That doesn't mean that you
not
are not a voice, and that where you stand is nothing but your foundation, brother. It's for you to sprout. It's for you to blossom. It's for you to bloom. And sometimes things like this happen. Like, these are the scars that give you character.
Did you
don't take it the wrong way, and don't run from it. Sincerely,
you
like
spoke to Chuck?
Get on the street.
I haven't spoken on the phone to Chuck. I've only texted with Chuck.
Yeah,
he told me he doesn't talk on the phone. That's what he says.
Did you ask him to come on the podcast or the show?
Yeah. He didn't seem to respond to. Although he went on Combat Jack, so you know, at least our thing led to someone else getting an awesome podcast. They did 3.5 hours.
3.5 hours?
Yeah, they crushed it. That's like 7 episodes of one I've seen. So, yeah, I mean, I think over time...
This was kind of long.
This was a good one. I think over time, Chuck and I, as often is the case, when you bump heads with someone, as long as you're respectful people, which we both are, you end up being closer than you ever would have been
otherwise.
A couple
of my best friends I met fighting, literally.
Right. Fist
fighting.
That's real. That's human
no,
nature.
No, that's like me. Now you know, because now since that's happened, someone has come up and mentioned the other one to each of us every day.
All right.
So you get sort of a strange bond with that person because you're like...
Without question.
Because at first he was probably like, oh, neat, this is a fun conversation. Now he's like, all right, I hear about this Pete Rosenberg guy every goddamn day.
But, you know, take my word for it. Look for the positive in it because it's there. It's just a matter of you know... identifying.
All right, and listen, if you hear anyone saying, you know what, next time I see Peter Rosenberg and punch him in the face, Drez, I'd like you to go, you know what, don't do that. He's a good guy.
I've already done that.
Thank you. I wonder how many of my rapper friends have already done that.
Let me tell all y'all fucking old school rappers or whoever the fuck you are, man, you talk a lot of shit, but you ain't gonna punch him in the face. And if you getting hyped up from what I'm saying, then prove it. Punch him in the fucking face.
Oh, God.
Yo, there's one thing I need to do that I told a friend of mine I would. Can I shout out a couple of cats on a rest in peace? I want to say rest in peace to Big L.
Okay.
Yeah.
To my man, Ty Shane. To Rock Raider. To Big Fred. To Huddy. To B.O. To my man, Pee Wee. And I want to say I love New York, man. Word up.
Yo, Drez, this has been a real pleasure. And I want to say you are one of the coolest guys in the game. Like, since I first got up here and started seeing you at events, Drez plays low-key. You've seen this before. You go to an event, he's in the back. He's outside smoking a cigarette with a little jacket, with a little windbreaker on in the corner with a hat. Like, he's just very much plays Drez. Like, you know that's Drez from Black Sheep. It was a treat getting to see you come out at Summer Jam.
I was pleasure.
That's it.
That was dope.
What's life?
Okay, what's your name you go by now?
The Black Sheep Drez. Black Sheep Drez.
So
is that why did people always call you Black Sheep?
For two reasons. Yeah, you know, that might be how you identify. If you don't know my name, you'll be like Black Sheep. That's Black Sheep.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That's Black Sheep. And then, like I said, I don't work with Long these days. So sometimes people want to see us together, and I just needed to be known because I've been doing shows nonstop globally, and so I don't want
since then.
Yeah. So I don't want to take advantage of, you know, you thinking it's me and Long.
Right.
That, you know, nah, it's Black Sheep Drez. You know what I'm saying? And you know, I'm the voice that you heard when it was me and Long, but right now it's just me.
People call you Black Sheep, though. Like, if you're at an airport, you're Black
Sheep.
Question.
Yeah, without question.
Does anyone ever call you Long?
Never.
Never, right?
Never happened.
Because I love when I'm walking around and people go, yo, Rosenberg!
Don't worry, it won't happen anymore.
That's because you look so much alike.
I know.
I swear to God. I get enough all the time. I get DJ Envy. Even Camilo on some Spanish shit. Enough, I can see why you think I might look like him, especially when I was heavier. Envy, I can understand
damn, shots.
The confusion. Sorry.
Heard that, right?
No, but enough is fat.
Woo-hoo. He's fatter than you right now.
But Rosenberg, though, kills me, though. Even Ebro. I was in Toronto, and this guy in the gas station was like, Ebro! I get it.
Right.
But Rosenberg, though.
How do we look the same?
And I'm like, I always go, do I look Jewish?
I don't know. I feel some type of way when you say that.
Both. Why?
You should be
do I look Jewish?
You're both very unattractive, though.
Fine.
On that note.
Fine.
On that note. Thanks, Drez.
Shirley, thanks for having me, brothers.